Shalom to all. Today's episode of Basar Daf Kuf Nun Tes. We are starting Kuf Nun Chasam Rebbe. It's about four lines up for the bottom with the words Shalchum Yitam. And today's episode sponsor Lila Nishmas Maris Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe. Her Neshama should have an Aliyah. Now the Gemara is going to bring a long discussion, which all the way at the end is going to loop back to our Mishnah and use it as a proof for what we're discussing. So the Gemara tells us Shalchum Yitam. They sent from there. This is talking about from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they sent in this message a number of different halachas. Ben Shalav Benichse Aviv, a son that borrowed money based off his father's properties, meaning his father's properties were leaned to the loan, and this was B'chai Aviv. When his father was alive, Mason, then he died. The son can take from those lekuchas. And here's the key line over here: Vizuhi shakasha b'dinei mamonis. This is something which is very challenging when it comes to mamonis. This is a very difficult psak to understand. And right away, we ask on this: Loive my mapek. Why is the loive the borrower taking properties away? What right does he have to take those properties? Usually, it's the mava that's taking properties away. And furthermore, lekuchas ma'avite. What are lekuchas doing here in the first place? This case we just mentioned didn't say anything about other people purchasing these properties. It talks about a halva, and then it says someone could take away from the lekuchas, but it never said that the properties were sold. So what's going on over here? The Gemara says, you're right, Ela Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. Meaning, if we have this din that was sent from Eretz Yisrael that's challenging, it's Kasha B'dinei Mamonis, this is really the din that we're referring to. Kufnin Tassim Al Alpha on the top, Ben Shemachar B'nichse Aviv B'chai Aviv. A son sold his father's Nechasim while his father was still alive. Umes, and then that son died. Benoi, that son's son, Maitim Yar Lekuchas, could take away from the lekuchas. And Vizuhi Shakasha B'dinei Mamonis. This is something that's challenging in Dinei Mamonis. And why is this challenging? Because Vilayim Rulay, one of the lekuchas, tell the grandson, Avuch Mazbin, your father sold, Va'at Mapik, and you're taking away? Your father sold these properties, he died, and now you're coming to take them away? How does that make any sense? Once a person sells something, that's 100% sale, and when he dies, his kids aren't allowed to take that away. What's done is done. However, the Gemara says it's actually not problematic. Umay Kusha, what's the issue? Dil Matzi Amar, maybe the grandson can say, Mikai Chavua de Abakasino, I'm coming from my grandfather. When my father sold these properties, he actually wasn't allowed to, because they were his father's properties. Therefore, the sale wasn't valid in the first place, and now that my grandfather died, I'm getting my grandfather's Yerusha, and that's why I'm taking the properties away. And Teida, you should know the Chsiv, it actually says this in the Pasuk. Tachas avisecha yu banecha, in place of your father will be your sons. So Pasuk is, so to speak, addressing Yitzchak, telling him that in place of your father, Avram will be your son, Yaakov. Tishisei melasar b'chal ha'aretz, the Pasuk concludes, you shall appoint them as officers throughout the land. So we clearly see the grandson comes directly from his grandfather, he yarshins his grandfather directly, and that's where the grandson's allowed to take away from the lekuchas, and therefore it's not a problematic Pasuk. So we move on to the next option, Eli Kasha, Hakasha. If a din was sent from Eretz Yisrael that was problematic, this is the one. Ben Bachar Shemachar Chelik Bachar B'chai Aviv, a son who's a Bachar, he's a firstborn, and he sold his firstborn portion while his father was alive. Umeis B'chai Aviv, and then he died when his father was alive. Benoi, this firstborn's son, Maitzimiyar Al-Kuchais, could take that Chelik away from the people who purchased it. And Vizui Shekash B'din Amominis, this is a challenging din B'din Amominis, because Avua Mazbin, Iu Mapek, the father sold it, and the son's able to take it away? How does that make sense? And Vichitim, if you're going to suggest like we just did before, Hachinami Omer here also, he could say, Mikai Chavua Da'aba Kasina, that I'm coming from my grandfather, and my father was really never allowed to sell it, and I'm just yarshing my grandfather. That can't be, because if you want to say that the grandson is coming Mikaich's grandfather, what does he have to do with the Chelik of Bechayra? Remember, this guy's father sold his Chelik Bechayra, his firstborn portion. And so yes, even if the grandson is inheriting his grandfather, then that means he's trying to skip his father in this whole deal, and his father was the one that was Bechar, not his grandfather. So how is he able to take away the Chelik Bechayra that his father sold? And to this, Gemara says, Umay Kasha, what's the problem? Maybe he could say, I'm coming from my grandfather, meaning the reason why I'm taking away these properties is because I'm inheriting them from my grandfather. However, I'm really taking the place of my father. In other words, now we have a slightly different understanding of what that means, that a grandson is coming to the grandfather. Originally, we were understanding that a grandson inherits the grandfather directly and it's not going through the father. Now we're saying that he's taking the place of his father, and since his father was a Bechar and he wasn't allowed to sell his Chelik Bechara because the grandfather was still alive, that's why the grandson is allowed to take away the Chelik Bechaira. So this is not a problem either. So we move on to another attempt, Eli Kasha, Hakasha. If you want to say there was a problematic din sent from Eretz Yisrael, this is the one that we're talking about. Reuven knew an edus about Shimon, and he wrote that down in a shtar, and this was before he became a gazlan. So that's on Sunday. This was before Reuven became a gazlan. He signed his name on a document that Shimon is owed money, and then afterwards, Vanasa gazlan, on Monday, Reuven became a gazlan, and he's pasul edus, who ain't made al ksav yaday, so he can't give edus about his ksav yad. He can't say, yes, I signed in the shtar because he's a gazlan and he's pasul edos, aval chirm eden, but others could give edos that this is Reuven's signature and we're going to be mekayim the shtar. And the question is, hash that you ulay mehemen, achrini mehemni? Now, this guy himself, he wouldn't be believed to say this is my signature because, again, he's a gazlan and he's not trusted, and others should be believed about him. Once this guy's a gazlan, we shouldn't trust his signature in the first place. And vizui shakash b'dini mamonis, this is the challenging din in dini mamonis. Ask the Gemara, my kusha, why is this problematic? Then what perhaps it could be as follows, kagon shahochsa ksav yad bezdin, that actually this ksav yad, this shtar was already muchzik in Beis Din, meaning this shtar already had a henpik. It was already confirmed in Beis Din that this is a valid shtar, and now we just have to confirm the henpik. We just have to make sure that the signatures that were signed confirming this was a good shtar is valid. And since this was all done before Reuven was a gazlin, we have no chashashas. So now we go on to another try. Eli kasha, ha kasha. Rather, if you want to say there was a challenging psak that was sent over, it's the following. A fellow knew an edus about somebody else, and he wrote that down in a shtar before it came to him b'Yerusha. So let's just use their same names, Reuven and Shimon, and their distant relatives. Reuven signed the shtar saying that this property is Shimon's, and then when Shimon died, it turned out that the next in line for Yerusha was Reuven. Maybe some other relatives that were really closer to Shimon ended up dying in between, and lo and behold, the lawyer contacted Reuven saying, you're the Yerush of Shimon. Now, he obviously can't be Mekayim his Ksav Yad because he's an Ageb Bedavar, he's the relative that's inheriting, but other people, they can confirm that yes, this is Reuven's signature. That seems to be the same issue as the previous case. If he can't give edus about his Ksav Yad, how could others? The Gemara answers, my question, what's the problem? Dilma Hachanami, maybe this is the same exact situation. That this Ksav was already Mochsik in Beis Din beforehand, and now we're just confirming the henpik, the confirmation of Beis Din, and so there's no problem. So the Gemara says, you're right, Eli Kasha, Hakasha. If there was a problematic psak sent over, this is it. Let's again use Reuven and Shimon. Reuven knew edus about Shimon, and he signed that in a shtar, and this is before he became Shimon's son-in-law, and then he became his son-in-law, and he's not able to testify about him. Who ain't made al ksav yadai? He can't give edus about his own ksav yad because he's the son-in-law of Alcherim Eden, but other people give edus that this is Reuven's signature. And once again, the question is, who lai mehemen achrina mehemni? He's not trusted, and other people are able to trust his signature. And v'chite mahachnami, if you want to say that it's the same exact situation as before, kigon shochsek ksav yad Beis Din, that his ksav was already mochsek in Beis Din, so we have no chashashas over here. We don't have to suspect that anyone's lying. That can't be in this case because val amar of Yosef bar Yumi, amar of Nachman, afal pi shaloi chochsek ksav yad Beis Din, even if Reuven's ksav yad was never mochsek in Beis Din, and we're trying to confirm it right now. This is the first time we're bringing the shtar to Beis Din to confirm that this is Reuven's signature. Still, even though Reuven can't give edus about his own signature, because again, he's Shimon's son-in-law, other people could give edus that this is Reuven's signature. And that's a challenging psak. How could that be? And once again, the Gemara says, my kusha, what's the problem? Dom gzeris melechi. Maybe this is a gzer from the king. We're not talking about a king of flesh and blood. We're referring to melech machem lachem akash baruchu. Maybe this is what Hashem says, the iulai mehemen vachrina mehemni, that he himself, Reuven, Shimon's son-in-law, is not believed, but other people are believed. And v'lam yishum demeshaker, it's not because he might lie. It's not that we don't trust Reuven and that he might have signed falsely on this document. It's just as simply his son-in-law is not able to testify regarding his father-in-law. If you don't say this, Moshe and Aaron, for example, giving edus about their fathers-in-law, do you want to say that they wouldn't be believed? Obviously, they're trustworthy. Moshe and Aaron, two great leaders of ours, wouldn't have to suspect that they would lie. It's just the gzer of the king. It's Hashem's gzerah that Moshe and Aaron are not allowed to give edus about their father-in-law, not because we suspect that they're lying. And Achanami saw it over here. Gzeres melchu shaloi yed al ksav yade l'chaisonai. It's a gzer of the king. Hashem says that a son-in-law is not allowed to give edus about his father-in-law, and that's why Reuven can't say anything about his signature, but other people could testify about Reuven's signature. So that's not problematic. Now the Gemara goes all the way back to the beginning. El la'olam kedamrina meikara. It must be that we go back to original case that was the issue. And remember, the original case was all the way on top of the Amud, where son sold his father's properties. He died, and now his son, the grandson, is taking away those properties from the lekuchos. And the kasha l'cha, that which you had asked, meaning that which you had said, that the reason why this is not a problem is because we have a pasuk, tachzav esecha yuabonecha, and that pasuk seems to clearly tell us that a grandson inherits directly from his grandfather, and that's why this fellow is allowed to take away the properties that his father sold. Hahu bebracha ksev. That pasuk is just talking about a bracha. It's not telling us a psak din, that a grandson inherits directly from his grandfather. It's simply saying that a person is going to have grandchildren who are going to be appointed as leaders throughout the land. Asking more, hold on a second. Are you really able to say that the pasuk is just telling us a bracha to a person and we're not learning any real dinim out of it? Vatan, you have a brisa, it's really vatanan, we have a mishnah, and this is our mishnah that we had before. Nafal bais olval aviv, if the house fell on a person and his father, or olval merishav, on him and somebody whom he inherits, bais olav ksubas ishu balchayv, and this fellow owed his wife her ksuba, or he owed a balchayv some money. And what's the disagreement? Yarshav oimrim, the yarshim of the father say, haben meis rishayin, the son died first, va'achach meis oav, and only then the father died, and that means that the father inherited the son, and we're inheriting the father, so therefore you, Mr. Balchayv, don't get anything. And the balchayv says that no, ha'av meis rishayin, the father died first, va'achach meis aben, then the son died, and therefore we're taking our debt from the son. And before we come to our question, we continue explaining. My love, doesn't it make sense to explain the Mishnah as follows? Yarshay Av, when the Mishnah says the Yarshim of the father, that's Bonei, referring to the sons, meaning referring to his grandsons, because again, we have a father and a son who had a house fall on them, and when we say Yarshay Av, that means the grandsons of that father, and they would be Yarshining their grandfather. And when the Mishnah gives a second case of Merishav, Achi, that's referring to brothers. For example, we have two brothers that were in the house, Reuven and Shimon, and Shimon doesn't have children, so Reuven would inherit him if he dies first. Now here's a question. If you want to say that a grandson is not able to claim, I'm coming from my grandfather, and that's why I deserve this property. And the reason why we would say this is because it's pasuk of tachas avisecha yu banecha, it's just referring to a bracha, and it's not referring to a real din. Well, if that's so, kimeis haben v'achach meis ho'av, even if the son died first and then the father died, that's what the Yarshim and father are claiming. My hava, what does that make a difference? Who cares? Namel hu balchayv, the balchayv should still be able to tell them yerushas avuin kashakilna, we're taking the yerusha of your father. In other words, if you want to say that a grandson doesn't inherit his grandfather directly, then what exactly is the claim of these Yarshei Av? They're trying to get this property away from the balchayv. And so they're saying that the son died first and then the father, and we're inheriting the father. But if grandchildren don't inherit the grandfather directly anyway, so who cares if the father died first and then the grandfather? Anyway, the Yerusha would be going through their father, and the Baal Chayv would have a right to it. And the Mishnah says the Baal Chayv doesn't have the right to it. And so it must be the grandkids do inherit their grandparents directly, not through their father. Everything else says, that's not so, meaning we misinterpreted the Mishnah. Yarshei Av, when it says the Yarshim of the father are claiming the following, Achiv, that's referring to the brothers of the guy that had died. And when it says Mayrishav, Achei Davua, that's referring to the brothers of the father who had died. And therefore, it actually could be that this pasuk of Tachas Avisecha Yu Abonecha is only telling us a bracha, and it's not telling us a real din. And that's how this original case is the challenging one, because how could it be that if a son sold his father's properties while the father was still alive, then the son died, that the son's son, the grandson, is able to take those properties away from the Lukuchais? It doesn't really make much sense. But again, that was the psak from Eretz Yisrael. Now, once the Gemara is on this topic of a nacha being transferred through certain people, we continue to discuss something else. Bo Menei Rav Sheshes, that's Rav Sheshes' following question. Ben Maush Yershes Imoy Bekever Lahanchel Achin Min Ho'av, is a son able to inherit his mother in the kever in order to transfer that Yerusha to his brothers from his father? We know that if a man has two wives, let's say Rachel and Leah, and Rachel dies, so her son Yosef is going to inherit her, and then when Yosef dies, his paternal brothers, his brothers who their mother is Leah, they're going to inherit him. Now the question over here that we're asking is, let's say Yosef died before Rachel, and then Rachel died. The question is, maybe her Yerusha goes to her deceased son Yosef, and then, since he's obviously dead, so he can't Yarshin it, it's going to go to his paternal brothers still, or maybe not. Since he predeceased his mother, he died before her, maybe when she dies, it goes to her Yarshim and not to her son's Yarshim. So Rav Sheshes told him, Tanisua, we learned this already. We have a brass that tells us, Av Shenishba, a father was captured and he was brought to a faraway place, Umes Benavi Medina, and then his son died in the Medina, meaning in the place where they were originally living, or the opposite case, Uben Shenishba, Umes of Medina, the son was captured and the father died in the Medina. And really, the only reason why we're saying that he was captured and he died in the Medina is just to show that these two people, this father and son who died, were very far away from each other, and we simply don't know who died first. Now, what's done with Yerusha? Yarsha Av, Yarsha Ben, Yachloiku, the Yarshim of the father and Yarshim of the son, they split the properties, because again, we don't know who died first. Now, the question is, Hey Chidami, what's going on over here? Elim Kediktani, if it's exactly as we said, it was a father and son, Hey Ninhu Yarsha Av, Hey Ninhu Yarsha Ben, the Yarshim of the father and the son are the same exact Yarshim, because we're talking about a son and father, so of course the Yarshim are the same. What does that mean that they split the Yerusha? El Lav Achikamar, must be that this is really the case. Av Shenishba, a father was captured, and over here really referring to a grandfather who was captured. Umes ben bitoy b'medina. This grandfather's grandson, but it was his daughter's son, died in the Medina. Or is the other way around, uben bitoy shenishba, we have a grandson who was captured, umes avi ima b'medina, and his grandfather, meaning his mother's father, died in the Medina. And again, v'lo yedin heminai umes b'resha, we don't know who died first. And over here it makes sense that we have different yarshim, because yarshim av, meaning the yarshim of the grandfather, would be his brothers, for example, and the yarshim of the grandson would be his paternal brothers, who have nothing to do with his mother's father's brothers. As regarding this case, the Brisa says, Yarshav, Yarshav ben Yachleiku, these two different Yarshim, the grandfather's brothers, for example, and the grandson's brothers, they're going to split the Yerusha. Now here's Rav Sheshes' proof. Vim Isa, if it's really true that a son will inherit his mother, even if he predeceased her, and that Yerusha is going to be transferred to his paternal brothers, Nei Nami de ben Meis Beresha, even if you want to say over here that the grandson died first, Lirta Lavua de Ime Bekivre, he should still inherit his mother's father in the Kever, and he should transfer that Yerusha to his brothers from his father. In other words, if you want to say that a son inherits his mother even though he predeceased her, so then there's no suffix over here. It doesn't make a difference who died first. Even if this grandson did die first, when his grandfather dies, his grandfather's Yerusha goes through his mother to him, but remember, he's dead, so then it goes to his brothers. And again, we didn't say that. We said Yachloiku. Elav Shemamino, must be that we learned from here, Eina ben Yerusha Zimu Bekever Lahanchal Achen Me'av, that a son does not inherit his mother in the Kever, meaning he's in the Kever, in order to transfer that Yerusha to his brothers from his father. And Amar Rabbi Bar Menuhmi told Abai, Afanan Amitoninu, we also learned this in our Mishnah, Nafal Bayis Alval Imai, if the house fell on him and his mother, and again, we don't know who died first, both Bisham and Beis Hillel agree, Shachloiku, that there's going to be Yachloiku. Navim Isa, if it's really true that a son is going to inherit his mother, even if he died before his mother, even if the son died before her, he should be able to inherit his mother in the Kever, and then transfer that Yerusha to his brothers from his father. And again, the Mishnah doesn't say that. It says that it's Yachloiku, Elav Shema Minah. Must be learned from the Mishnah as well, that Eina Ben Yerusha's Ima Bekever, Lahanchel Achim Minah Av. Shema Minah, that's a valid Raya. Now the question is, V'taimamai, why is this? Why doesn't the son inherit from his mother if he predeceases her? Amar Abaye, Abaye answers, that's because Nemar Siba Ben, Nemar Siba Bebal. It says the word Siba by a son and Siba by a husband. It doesn't actually use the word Siba. The Pasuk tells us, V'loi Sisoiv Nachal B'nei Yisrael, and V'loi Sisoiv Nachal Mimata Lamata. The word Siba over here means transferring, that the Nachal is now to be transferred from one Shevet to another, and this word is used once in regards to a son and once in regards to a husband. And Masiba Amur Bebal, just like this word of Siba, transference, that said in regards to a husband, that tells us, Ein Abal Yarshas Ishta Bekever, that a husband doesn't Yarshin his wife in the Kever, meaning if a husband predeceases his wife, then she dies, the husband's Yarshim don't take this wife's properties, because that would be considered transferring the Nachla from her Shevet to her husband's Shevet. And Afsiba Amur Beben, so to this transference that's said by a son, Ein Aben Yarshasim Bekever, Lahan Chalachim Min Av, a son is not going to inherit his mother if he had already died before her in order to transfer that Yerusha to his brothers from his father. And moving on to something else, we actually have this Gemara almost word for word way earlier on Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara tells us, Huda Amar Leil Chavre, a fellow told his friend, Nichzad Bar Sisin Mizavnin Alach, I'm selling you the Nechasim of Bar Sisin. Let's say this is Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven had purchased the Nechasim of this fellow called Bar Sisin, and now he's selling all of those guys' Nechasim to his friend Shimon. And Avay Chada Ara to have a Mikrid Be Bar Sisin, Reuven also had a property that was called Bar Sisin, but Amar Leil, Reuven told Shimon, Ha Olav the Be Bar Sisin Hu. This is not Bar Sisin's property. I didn't buy it from him. Ve'akri Huda Makari the Be Bar Sisin, it's just called Be Bar Sisin. Imagine going on a trip to a farm with your family, and it's called Farmer Joe's Farm. But Farmer Joe isn't the owner of the farm. Farmer Bob is. That doesn't mean that it's Farmer Joe's Farm. It just happens to be called Farmer Joe's Farm. And that's what Reuven's saying. I have a property that's called Bay Bar Sisin, but I didn't buy it from Bar Sisin, and therefore that property you can't have. And obviously Shimon says, look, it's called Bay Bar Sisin, and I bought all your properties by this name. So I do get it. And also Kamei Rav Nachman, the Kamei Rav Nachman, Okum Biyad Loikach, he established it in the hands of Loikach. He said that Shimon could have the property. Now Amar Lei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav told Rav Nachman, Dina Hachi, that's the din. The one who wants to be mighty from his friend, he has to bring a raya. And therefore, if Shimon wants his property from Reuven, he has to prove that this actually used to belong to Bar Sisin. Now, the Gemara asks Rami Rav HaDrava, Rami Rav Nachman HaDrav Nachman. We actually have a Stira Shitas Rava and Stira Shitas Rav Nachman. What's the case? The Huda Amar Lechavri, a fellow told his friend, my boy's Bahai Besa, what are you doing in this house? It's my house. What are you doing in it? You're squatting. Get out. Amar Lei, so the fellow who was living in the house said to him, Minach Zavinta, I bought it from you. Ba'achal Shnei Chazaka, and I was here for the years of Chazaka, meaning I was here for 3 years, so I don't even have to take out my shtar and prove to you that I bought it from you. Amar Lei, so the other guy responded, I was living in the inner rooms of the house, and that's why I didn't make a macha, I didn't protest. Just imagine the situation, two fellows come to Bezin arguing about a house, one guy claims I've been here for 3 years, and this other guy is trying to oust me from my house, and the other fellow says, it's my house, I was living in it the whole time, I just allowed you here as a guest, and the only reason why I didn't protest you being here is because I was constantly going in and out through your living quarters, so there's no need for me to say anything. Now, I want you out of my house, you've overstayed your visit. What do we do? So also, Rav Nachman came to Rav Nachman, Amalei Rav Nachman told him, Zil Baroy Chilasach, go clarify your usage, meaning you, Mr. Fellow, who claimed that you were here for 3 years, you have to prove that it actually is your house and that you bought it. Now, Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav told Rav Nachman, Dina Hachi, is that the din? Hamatzim Mechaver, Al Varaya. The one who's trying to take the house away from the guy who's currently in it, he's the one that has to bring a raya. And Kasha Drava Dravo, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman. We have a steer Rav on himself and Rav Nachman on himself. Rav's original psak was for the benefit of the original owner, whereas in this one, he's paskining for the new guy, not for the original owner. And Rav Nachman's also a sicer himself. In the first one, Nachman paskin for the new guy, and over here is paskining for the old guy. So what's going on over here? I think my answer is Drava Drava Lakasha, no steer Rav on himself, because Hacha Meicher Kai Benechse, Hasam Lakech Kai Benechse. In both cases, Rav is paskining that whoever is there is considered the muchzik, and the other guy has to bring a raya. So in this case, referring to the Bar Sisin one, the original situation, the first one that we brought, the Meicher is currently occupying the field called Bar Sisin, so it's up to Lakech to prove that it's really his property. Whereas in the second situation, the Lakech is there. There's a fellow there for 3 years, and so he's the muchzik, and it's up to the other guy, the original owner, to prove that he didn't sell it. And Rav Nachman Lakash is also no steer of Nachman himself. Hach over here, meaning in the first case of Bar Sisin, Kivin to Amar Lei the Bay Bar Sisin, since Reuven told Shimon, I'm selling you properties that are called Bar Sisin, Umikari the Bay Bar Sisin, and this is called Bay Bar Sisin, Alei de Rami Lagluye, the love the Bay Bar Sisin he. It's incumbent upon Reuven, the seller, to prove that this property happens to be not from the estate of the Bay Bar Sisin, and it just happens to be called that. Whereas Hach over here, in the second case, lo yehe el dinak et shtara. The guy who's currently occupying the house is really just considered like he's holding on to a shtar, but the shtar's validity is being contested because the original owner is saying that the reason why that you're here is due to the fact that I allowed you to be my guest and I never protested because you saw me all the time. Milay minale, don't we tell a person who's holding on to a shtar but who's being told that it's a forgery, kaim shtar chalkom benichse, you have to be mekayim your shtar and only then you're allowed to have the nechasim? And that's exactly what we're telling the guy who's currently in the house. Look, you've been here for 3 years, but the other fellow has a great reason why you were here for 3 years, because you were just a guest and not that you bought it, and therefore you would actually have to prove that you bought it in order to be able to stay here. So there's no stira from Nachman on himself either. Hajj al Chamisha Meis, Malsar finishing the ninth parak of Mesechus Baal Basra, just like we were finishing this parak together, we should be Zechus finish the entire Mesechus together, and of course, all of Shas together. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, beginning the last parak in the Mesechta. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.